Merry Christmas. I'm Chaplain Charles Varsogia, and I'm the commanding officer of the Naval Chaplaincy School in Newport, Rhode Island. Good Friday is a perfect example of Christ being courageous. We see him stealing his spirit for his crucifixion as he prays, and that prayer becomes supernatural courage. But I think Christmas is just as much about courage. What kind of heroic humility does it take for the Son of God to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and then slowly born of the Virgin Mary? I don't know. But I do know that in word and in sacrament, when he gives us his body and blood, when he breathes his spirit into us in baptism, that he gives that supernatural courage and that heroic humility to us. And it is the privilege of military chaplains to carry that humility and courage forward by the means of grace to those who need it most, to proclaim the grace of God in the least forgiving circumstances. So this season, when you're thinking about giving gifts, give the gift of prayer. Pray for everybody in uniform. Pray especially for our Lutherans in uniform. Pray particularly for Missouri Synod chaplains who do the work of God by giving strength and humility to those who defend the Republic and the Constitution. And if you're a pastor who wants to live a life of heroic humility and supernatural courage, talk to Pastor Craig Mueller about becoming a military chaplain, and maybe you'll pass through the Naval Chaplaincy School in Newport, Rhode Island. And if you want to support that ministry of making chaplains, give a gift to Ministry to the Armed Forces. Merry Christmas from the Naval Chaplaincy School in Newport, Rhode Island.
Listening to the 12 Days of Christmas on KFUO. I'm Andy.
I'm Sarah, and this is a fireside chat with one of our seminary professors. Today we're chatting about the incarnate Christ in Hebrews and the Psalms, and our guest today is the Reverend Dr. Adam Hensley, Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Hensley, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Where would you like to begin?
Well, I think a good place to begin is one of my favorite letters in the New Testament. That's the letter to the Hebrews. It's got it all, in my view. It's a lovely book. And tells us so much about what not just who Christ is, but what he came to do for us and what he continues to do as our great high priest and intercessor. And of course, none of that would be possible were he not incarnate. And it starts out with this wonderful beginning that many of your listeners will no doubt be familiar with. You know, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And it goes on to say these wonderful things about who the Son is and how he is far superior to any creature, any angel, and because he is God, right? He's God himself in the flesh. And what's interesting to me is, where does he go in the Old Testament to demonstrate this truth? Well, he goes to the Psalms principally. There's a number of different quotations then that follow in Hebrews 1 to demonstrate that.
So what are those Psalms?
Well, we have a number of Psalms from a group that are often designated the Royal Psalms. So Psalms that have to do specifically with the kingship of David and the promises that God made to David concerning his throne, how it would be an eternal throne, how, you know, God would be father to David's son, and so these are promises that live on in Israel's memory in the scriptures, and that they remember with the use of these psalms all the time. So we get some of those psalms turn up in this very chapter, psalms like Psalm 2. 110, a very famous psalm, priest forever, says God in that text, of David's Lord. Of course, not just David's son, but David's Lord. And Jesus himself uses this text to say, how I'm more than just a descendant of David here. I'm the Son of God. So wonderful sort of places to go to in the Old Testament to demonstrate this. Yeah, so as we look through the chapter, these are just a couple of the examples that we find. That first one that I mentioned, Psalm 2, is referenced right from the beginning. The argument goes like this: to which of the angels did God ever say, And of course, the answer is no, he never said this to any angel, but he did say it to the Son. And then he quotes Psalm 2 verse 7, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." So this eternally begotten Son of the Father, the one who is the Son of David according to the flesh, is superior to all angels, all creation. So that's the first place he goes. And we could talk about that one for a long time, because Psalm 2, together with Psalm 1, introduced the whole book of Psalms. And in those two Psalms, I think you have a very full picture of the Christ, you know, his whole office as a high priest and intercessor, a new Adam even. We don't have time to unpack all that, but it is wonderful to see how the Psalms set right before us from the get-go the coming expectation of the coming Christ, who's going to intercede for nations and draw all men to himself. It's just a wonderful picture you get there. Yeah, there are other texts that are picked up too. Next, he goes on to say, or did he say this to angels? "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Now, there's a reference to 2 Samuel 7, the promises that God made to David concerning David's heir to come. And he goes on with some other examples. But one of the ones that I think I find particularly thrilling is from Psalm 45. Psalm 45 is another royal psalm, and the way in which it speaks of God here is rather remarkable, because it first addresses the king as God, and then it refers to the king's God. And you're thinking, well, which is it? Well, yes, it's both, right? God the Father, God the Son. The writer of the Hebrews recognizes this is fulfilled in the coming of our Lord Jesus. That text reads, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom." So he's addressing God, it seems, there. And then he goes on to say, though, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." So there we've got a sort of a indication that this is a descendant of David, nonetheless, who is at once God and has God and, yeah, God the Father and God the Son there distinguished, but God the Son is incarnate. I think this is just a wonderful example of that. Yeah, so, and then of course you get Psalm 110 itself referenced. I mentioned the verse before, which is referencing the kingship as, you know, he's a high priest forever. He's not only a king, but also a priest. But right from the beginning of that psalm, remember it begins that the Lord said to my Lord, and this is David speaking, reporting the oracle of God concerning David's greatest son, his Lord. He says, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." So the sitting at the right hand of God, of course, is a reference really in Jesus' ministry to his ascension. He has ascended to the right hand of God. He rules over all things. And for that reason, obviously, he is demonstrated as above all things, superior to angels, the very point that Hebrews 1 is setting out to make.
Fantastic. The Reverend Dr. Adam Hensley, Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Thanks for the chat.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Andy.
I'm Sarah.
Are 70 and a half or older, you can make a big difference in helping further the mission of KFUO. An IRA charitable rollover gift is a significant way to lower your income and taxes with your IRA withdrawal while also helping KFUO. Hi, I'm Mike Fisher, Senior Gift Planning Advocate with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I'm here to help you leverage your love for KFUO. Contact me about the benefits of IRA gifts by visiting kfuo.org/give. Giving can be easy, and I'm here to help. kfuo.org/give.